All right, Matt, first of all, let's just go down to the bubble. Can you imagine staying in the same spot, same room for 3 months if you happen to get to the finals? What would that be like for you personally?
That would be tough. But at the same kind of understanding the environment we're in, you know, it's a comfortable, uncomfortable situation for the country as a whole. So, you know, when it pertains to basketball, obviously it would be tough, but we got to also have to understand how blessed we are and in a position to still do what we do. But with that said, it would definitely be tough for a number of reasons.
Adam Silver today said that they plan to move forward, but if there's significant spread, they will reevaluate. How would you feel as a player in that environment playing these games and sort of wondering what the count would be from day to day?
I mean, obviously they have to be transparent, but it's something you have to wonder about. You know, I think no one can really put their finger on what the second wave is due to, whether it be, you know, stuff reopening or a combination of that and protesting. So obviously the second wave is here and it doesn't look like it's going anywhere. But I also have faith in Adam Silver in the NBA from a standpoint of, you know, once you get there, that you'll be safe. So, you know, I'm pretty sure obviously other players feel that way or they wouldn't be going. So it's just going to be a tough kind of day-to-day situation. And obviously with health being at the forefront of most people's concerns, it's something that the NBA is going to definitely have to stay on top of.
You know, Commissioner Silver said, quote, "We are going to see as we go. Certainly if cases are isolated, that's one thing. A lot of the determination will be our understanding of how our community became infected. That will be part of our judgment in terms of whether we should continue. But certainly if we had a lot of cases, we are going to stop. You cannot run from this virus." So look, there's going to be positive tests, as you mentioned, Matt. But mm-hmm. when it comes to – it sounds like to me, if you read between the lines there, that there is a point that they have a number or a situation where they say, that's it, it didn't work. What do you think when you hear those words from the commissioner?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think they have to have a plan. But also one thing I've heard the commissioner say, I don't know if it was this week or last week, is whether it pertains to sports or life in general, that this is something we're going to have to learn to live with.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We're going to have to be safe from here on out for however long this may be, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever the situation may be. So we are going to have to come to some sort of normalcy when it pertains to life, and obviously part of life is sports. So this is a new territory. You know, Adam Silver has never done anything to make me doubt his judgment. He's been great since day one. You know, I was a part of the Clipper team that, you know, had Donald Sterling, and he came in and had swift action. So I definitely believe in Adam Silver, and he has the player's best interest at heart. But like you said, this is something that, to be honest with you, I really don't think even the doctors have a full handle or understanding of exactly what the hell we're dealing with. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be a day by day situation. Obviously, I think we're all hoping and praying that everyone stays safe from the virus standpoint. But this is, you know, the NBA is normally the lead when it comes to stuff in general. So this is no different right here. So, you know, the world is definitely going to be watching how, you know, this format rolls out and transpires.
You do an incredible podcast with your boy, Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson was one of the guys who said, now might not be the time to play, considering everything mm-hmm. that's going on in the world after George Floyd. The NBA announces that they're going to have Black Lives Matter on the court. Players can have quotes about their cause or that they support on the backs of their jerseys. What do you think about that gesture by the NBA? And do you think that will extend the conversation about race and racism in America?
I think it's a great gesture, but it's not enough. I hope they have more rolled up their sleeve. I was fortunate enough to, you know, Chris Paul is a good friend of mine and neighbor, lives right down the street. Our kids go to school together. So I've kind of been in his ear, you know, probably starting about 2 weeks ago, just to kind of figure out what was the plan. I really feel like outside of just going back to playing, I think there needs to be a plan from a standpoint of now I feel like the Black athletic voice is stronger than it's ever been and will ever be. So I think there needs to be some sort of, I don't know if you want to call it demands, that might seem too harsh, but some requests that the players need to make to these owners to really kind of give back to these communities, add some diversity to management, and whatever else they feel is, you know, lacking in our game. Obviously, we have a beautiful game, but, the numbers don't lie when it comes to diversity and actually owners of these franchises giving back to these communities. I think in the past it's always been the NBA Cares. It's kind of been, not to take anything from the NBA Cares, but I've been a part of the NBA Cares where we go take pictures, you know, for a handful of minutes and then leave acting like we really did something. You know, so this has to be something that's much deeper than that, something that is not just a one-time thing. It becomes a monthly thing or quarterly thing, that there's some sort of money that is driven back into these undeveloped, poverty-stricken communities that a lot of us players come from.
He played nearly a decade and a half in the NBA. He's an NBA champion. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt_Barnes22. Matt Barnes here with us on Freddie Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio. Myron Metcalf in for Freddie Coleman. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. And, Matt, you mentioned there at the start of that, and I agree with everything you just said, but that it's not enough what's going to happen down at the bubble. You know, Black Lives Matter on every court and the social message, whatever you want to put on the back of your jersey. When you talk to Chris Paul, what else did you want to see implemented? What are some ideas you guys have come up with to make it even more?
Ideas I came up with. You know, it was more kind of me bouncing off ideas. I'm sure, you know, he had told me at the time he had been talking to everyone from a Barack on down as far as ideas and in ways they feel that the NBA can really be beneficial to communities during this point. You know, one idea I came up with was, you know, $150 million fund, I guess, from each owner or each team. That is, you know, where funds are diverted back into the community. You know, diversity in management, definitely addressing that situation. You know, things like, you know, Black Business Night or Small Business Night, just really things to get back into the community and not just say, hey, you know, there's a message and we're with you, but actually on the ground proving that you know, the NBA is actually with these cities and communities that, you know, granted, spend their last dollar to come watch these games. You know, it's no secret that, you know, the NBA ticket is forever a rising cost. You know, a lot of these families budget that in there just to support these teams. You know what I mean? So players make a good amount of money, but obviously the owners have to be making a good amount of money to pay us the kind of money we're making. So we kind of feel like the owners need to really step up and give back to these communities. And if I was a player, still, that would probably be my number one thing. I agree that the message is louder, united, why these guys are playing, because from the time they step out in warmups to, you know, the final buzzer and the last interview, it's going to be on the players to keep the message going, along with, you know, performing on the court from a physical standpoint. But, you know, I think, like I said, the NBA has always been at the forefront of issues. But right now, just messaging and BLM on course is definitely not going to be enough. But, you know, I have faith that there's hopefully going to be more behind that.
You're obviously an extremely intelligent brother, and obviously you played in the league for a long time. You understand the game. Why aren't more guys like you in front offices of the NBA right now?
The million-dollar question. I mean, probably because my color, my reputation, my tattoos, who knows? You know, but I've had this conversation several times, and I just feel like whether it be in the NBA or, you know, just business across the world, like you hire people who look like you. And that's kind of just been the stigma and what happens, you know. So we hope, you know, as former players that we are qualified, we are knowledgeable, we can do other things than just perform on the court. You know, we can be in management, we can be, you know, help putting teams together, whatever the situation may be. A lot of us have a lot of knowledge of the game, obviously, it's the game we love. But we're just not giving adequate opportunities. And you see when this kind of stuff comes up on social media, people, well, you guys get, you know, you guys are making a bunch of money, you guys are players, and it's not about the color, it's about who's best. But these people really don't know that it is about the color, unfortunately. And, you know, I did an interview with Taylor Rooks just recently on her show that's on Bleacher Report, and I gave an example of Coach Fizdale, you know, a good friend of mine. But I said that Black coaches have to be, you know, weary of jobs, because you don't get, you know, one, maybe two, you know, firings, two bad records, and your chances of being a head coach are pretty much gone. Whereas, you know, other white coaches in the past have, you know, failed but still been able to find other job after job after job. And it's dangerous. You know, Coach Fizdale took that Memphis team, which was a rebuilding young team, and did what he can do with the talent and got fired, unfortunately, and then took, you know, a pretty lucrative deal with the Knicks. But at the end of the day, a very mediocre team, and got fired, you know. So now, although he's knowledgeable enough and has the skill set enough to be an NBA head coach, will he actually get another job because of his resume? You know, so it's a dangerous game. But to answer your question, I really don't know why there's not more people that look like me and think like me in front offices.
All the things you mentioned, Matt, at some point when the season begins, LeBron and Chris Paul and Anthony Davis and Kawhi and all these guys are going to be standing in front of a microphone and having an opportunity to use this platform to address some of those issues. What do you hope they say when given the opportunity to speak on these issues?
I think just our overall message is we have to have a plan, and that's not only in sports. I think as a nation, I think for the first time in 400-plus years, they're listening to us. So what are we going to say now? What is going to be our plan moving forward? And I can speak for myself, and I know LeBron is doing his voter suppression thing and more than a vote. I personally am working with a group of people who were creating small bite-sized fun ways to learn politics and voting through content. So I think the message has to be education and empowering our youth, our players that are actually in the league, because I'm sure a lot of guys know this. I've been studying up on it a lot the last month and a half. And then everyone else, I think we have to, everything we do now in 2020, our children, our grandchildren, and their children are going to reap the benefits from. So we have to understand, the opportunity and really seize the moment of what we're doing is obviously going to be a process. Things aren't going to change overnight. But the strides we make today are going to be felt for the next couple hundred years. So we have to take this very serious. We have to have a real plan. And I think the main thing behind it is educating people on voting. When we say voting, it's not necessarily just for the president, because we know the swing states are what matter with the president. But it's on your local and state level, where most of the bills are created and passed. We have control of who the mayor is, who the DA is, who the sheriff is, who the judge is. School funding. We have defunding the police. We have control over a lot of different things by voting on our local levels and just getting people to understand that. Also, the myth that if you're a felon, you can't vote, which is true in some states, but also with that being said, there's a few steps you can take to be able to be registered to vote. And then in some states where you are a felon, you can still vote. So just kind of giving people small pieces of content that aren't overwhelming, because politics as a whole are very messy and a dirty game, and it's a lot to learn. But just giving people small pieces of information to really get them engaged, get them registered, and get them to vote on initiative, even if it's not an overall, I don't feel like my voice is being heard. I get that. I respect that. But get them behind a few message or, a few bills that really pertain to them and their community in particular, which will do two things. It'll get them registered, and then it'll get them eager to want to learn more, because, the more we vote, the more we'll get on our return. So I just think it's an important time right now to educate, empower people, and come out in masses to vote, because once we realize the power we have in voting, we'll never give that power away again.
He's an NBA champion, played nearly a decade and a half in the NBA. Matt Barnes has been here with us on ESPN Radio. As we turn you loose, and we greatly appreciate your time and just a tremendous message that you have, from an NBA standpoint on the court, man, the mental side versus the physical side, and then obviously the coronavirus side. What's your level of confidence that we actually finish this season and the bubble succeeds?
As the fan in me wants it bad. I think, some people's concerns are, will we be distracting from what's going on right now? And I don't think so. I think, like I said, the NBA, it's going to be on the players to really continue to drive the message, and I have no doubt that they'll do that. I hope it happens. I really hope it happens. I think it'll be good for us to see the guys get back out there and play. Not only play, but like I said, continuing to carry the message. So I'm with you guys. I hope that it happens. And people have to understand, this is really, people want to say, oh, this is going to be an asterisk, or there's going to be, a question mark by this championship. But to me, if we're able to get back out there and play and be able to focus, and anyone who's a former athlete knows that the game is 90% mental. So if these guys are able to focus through all the things you just listed and still able to win a championship, I think there should be a gold star by the championship instead of an asterisk, because this has been something that is forever going to be in our history. And to be able to focus on actually playing, which people think, oh, it's just playing, it's still a job, and it's still tough. And if these guys can, wrangle that focus in and are able to win a championship, to me, this is a gold star by that championship, because it's this is something that's going to go down in history, obviously.
Best to your family. Stay safe, Matt. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much for your time here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for having me, guys.